Well, thanks for being here today. Happy Easter to everyone. Today's like the Super Bowl for the church. I mean, it is so great to be able to once again talk about the essence of Easter. And it's just, I've looked forward to this time together. I want to do something a little different today. Imagine you were there the last few days that Jesus was alive. Imagine the swing of emotion. What it'd have been like to actually witness the drama of the Last Supper. You would have heard those magnificent words of Jesus Christ that scholars call the Upper Room Discourse. And then you glance just a little while later at the agony of Gethsemane. And then you're there when a disgruntled mob calls for the death of Jesus. You're there for the chaotic events surrounding his arrest. And then can you picture that kangaroo court of Pilate when they call for Christ to die on the cross? Picture in your mind the humiliation, the brutal suffering. Just picture that as Christ is beaten. He's whipped, he's mocked, and they spit on him. And then, not that you want to, but in your mind, follow that entourage of death walking to Golgotha, the place of the skull. It seemed like vultures, a crowd of onlookers stand and they gawk at the one who has a sign placed above him called the King of the Jews. Would you have flinched as they shoved Christ to the ground? Right then, a big burly soldier prepares to nail a Galilean who is exhausted to a couple of beams of timber. I hate to picture that Jesus turns his face just as the soldier swings a hammer to strike it. At that moment, for the carpenter and the soldier, it's the last chance to reverse all of the effects. If I could have been there, I think, and maybe you would do the same thing, you would wonder for a moment, maybe it would have flashed across your mind, why, because they didn't know back then what we know now, why doesn't Jesus stop this injustice? Isn't he the one who calmed the raging sea? Isn't he the one who raised people from the dead? Isn't he the one at Gethsemane, by the breath of his mouth, all of them fell to the ground? And yet, right now, nothing. Isn't he the one at the spoken word, he could have a legion of angels come and absolutely stop what is going on? And yet he doesn't speak. He doesn't even resist. And the hammer falls. And the nails pierce his flesh. And they hang him on that tree. Why didn't God intervene? Why didn't Jesus stop all of this? Well, it's because he loves us. That's very true. But it's not just that he loves us, it's to what end that matters. This was the greatest RIO in human history. It was the greatest return on investment that it could have ever been given. Listen to what God's holy word says about these events. You and me were dead because of your sins, and your sinful nature was not cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. He canceled the record of charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. I mean, maybe you could say it like this. Between the hand of Jesus and the cross was a list. A detailed, itemized list of the things that we've done wrong, the mistakes you've made, the sins that you have committed. And as the Lord opened his hand for the nails, it also opened the doors of heaven for sinners like you and me. I titled my message today, Illogical Logic, Die to Live. It doesn't make sense. He died that we might live. And at that moment, when his hand was nailed to the cross, we can actually proclaim, I am forgiven. Remember those last words that Jesus uttered from the cross? He took a breath and he said, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. Rather, the payment of sin was forgiven. And at that moment, we read in Mark chapter 15, it was at that moment that the curtain in the temple, the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from ordinary people like you and me, at that moment, that temple, the veil in that temple was ripped in two. When Jesus died, God tore the veil, symbolically saying, everyone now can be forgiven. It's not only the forgiveness of sins. Let's just take one more walk and look at the future of hope. We find it in a woman named Mary Magdalene. She had a tough life. Do you remember what happened to her life when she met Jesus? Jesus miraculously freed her from demonic influence. He miraculously set her free. And it was that Sunday morning, the very first Easter. It was bad enough that her life was hard. She wanted to go to the tomb and pay honor to Jesus. She was there at the cross. She felt the agony. She felt the pain. And now she goes to the tomb. And not only was Jesus dead, but Jesus is gone. What do you see on her face? I would tend to think there's confusion, there's fear, and maybe most of all, there's disappointment. Like many, many times before, she put her trust in another thing and it didn't work out. Another dream gone. Another moment seemed to be crushed. Yes, she believed in Jesus, but life was very hard. Let me show you an example of what we're talking about.
It was quiet when we approached the tomb. Days before, there was noise wherever we went. Crowds cheering, sometimes yelling. But now, in front of his tomb, I had gathered all my spices and oils, intending to anoint the body. But when I got there, he was gone. Jesus changed my life. Ever since the day that I met him in Galilee, he rescued me. And I followed him ever since, all the way to his death. But there was the tomb. empty. My heart broke into 1,000 pieces. I turned and there was a gardener, and I asked him if he knew where they had taken Jesus' body. But I recognized it was Jesus. It was my Lord. He taught us that his sheep would recognize his voice, and I knew him. I knew him the minute he said my name. I dropped to my knees. What else could I do but cling to him? I never wanted to let him out of my sight. But no, he had different plans for me. He wanted me to let the others know about the good news. I ran as fast as my legs would carry me, shouting like an excited child. He did it! He did it! He really did it! Yes. To think that I had come to anoint a dead man, and I left with proof that he is the overcomer of everything. All of us, can never beat fear, sorrow, sin, definitely not death. Death. He beat death. Who do I say that he is? I know who he is. Oh, I know who he is. He said that he would rise. And he most certainly is risen. He is the Savior. He is the one true God.
Wasn't the nails that confined Jesus to the cross. It was his love for Mary. It was his love for you. It was his love for me. For Mary, it was time to live again. The tomb was empty and Jesus actually could be trusted. Mary, leave the past behind. Jesus was alive, and Mary again was filled with hope. You see, it's not only about forgiveness, but it's also about hope for the future. And my friends, that is not just a reality for Mary. It's a reality for you and me today. It is actually the power of the resurrection. You see, it's not only Mary who needed forgiveness, and it's not only Mary who needed hope when life gets hard. You need forgiveness, and I need forgiveness. And even when you have a strong faith in Jesus, it doesn't mean that life isn't going to get hard. And that's where we find hope in Jesus. As we wind things down here this morning, I need to ask you a very personal question. Have you really asked Jesus to forgive your sins? Have you confessed your sins to the one who died brutally on the cross for you? The agony, the suffering are so that you and I might be freed and forgiven. I don't know when your last breath is going to be. I hope you live for a long time. But do you absolutely know when you breathe your last breath, you will be in heaven because of what Jesus did on your behalf? Mary Magdalene's not the only one who experienced hard times. Maybe today you have a strong faith, but a hard point in life. Maybe today your faith is bold, but your body is weak. Maybe today you're very mindful of Christ, but your mind is racing because of situations that are beyond your control. Let me ask you a question. Do you mind if I pray for you today? Do you mind as we wrap up our service together and the band's going to sing one last song? Do you mind if I pray that God would hold you close and keep you close today because life is hard? I'd like to pray for two things today. What an honor it would be for me to pray with you if you don't know for sure your sins are forgiven. What an honor for me as your pastor, even those of you maybe I don't know. What an honor for me as your pastor to pray that God would give you the encouragement that you need today. I'll invite the people who are going to lead us in singing to come and let me pray with you as they make their way up here. God, you are beyond my understanding. This is a great day for the rest of our lives to be reminded of how important you think we are. Important enough that you allowed your son to die and you could have stopped it and you didn't. It's not just that he died, it's the return on that investment. That's us. You actually loved us enough to believe in us that at this very moment, somebody would say, I need Christ and I need my sins forgiven. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, or you know you're not where he would have you to be, I want to, in a very private and reverent way, pray for you that God would bless you. Would you look up at me and say, Pastor Jim, would you pray for me? I need my sins forgiven. Okay. I love y'all. I really do, and I care about you. Just make sure we catch eyes. Okay. There's another group that maybe you're a strong believer, but you're battered and feel kind of tattered in life. And I would love to pray for you that God would bring you encouragement. Would you look up at me and say, Pastor Jim, include me in your prayer? Thank you. What an honor for me to pray for you today. God, I pray. It's a simple prayer, but it's a life-changing prayer if we want it to be. Lord, there are those who are saying, forgive me, for I've sinned. Forgive me for all of those sins. It's possible. God, forgive us of our sins. You said, as John wrote on the island where he was exiled, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just, not only to forgive us, but to cleanse us of unrighteousness. And that's what we do. People have looked up to me, which really they're looking up to you, and saying, Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of unrighteousness and set me on a path. Set me on a path that one day we'll meet face to face and I will be in heaven. And God, for some who are like Mary, they're strong, they're believers, they're not walking away, but they're beat up. They just feel tattered and they need that strength and hope that comes from you. That they need that same power that raised Christ from the dead to fill them, to fill their hearts. Lord, you said you can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine because of the power that is in Christ Jesus. And I pray I pray for the friends here. I pray for the friends at home. Lord, that you would give them peace, a peace that transcends their understanding, a peace that goes above the things that are racing in their mind, the peace of God that can guard our hearts and guard our minds. Jesus, you really did raise from the dead. You really did conquer death. You really did conquer sin. It is absolutely in your power to lift us up. And God, I pray for friends today that they would sense you. They would sense the power of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that there's somebody like Mary who was broken and you lifted her up. Someone like Peter who absolutely denied you and you called his name and brought him back into the fold. Thank you, Jesus, that today is a day that we can find hope. Amen. Let's stand together as we sing this last song.